Amen. Thank you, choir. Great job. We appreciate that very much. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all our mothers this morning. It's good to see all of you here today. Thank you for being here. You know, Warren pointed out that my birth name is Theodore, and I'm proud of that fact, okay? You know, Theodore is actually has a Greek origin, and the word, the prefix Theo means God, and Dore, D-O-R-E, comes from a Greek word that means gift. So my name means gift of God. And since Warren was so long-winded, let's get right to it. Okay. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Let me say as you turn to Hebrews 11 that it's an honor to fill in for Dr. May today and stand before you this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to look at verse 23 through 29. Hebrews 11. Verse 23 through 29. This passage is really a summary of the life of Moses. A summary of the life of Moses. And again, we're going to refer back to where we're introduced to Moses in Genesis 2. But we see here some information, scripture about the parents of Moses. Hebrews 11, verse 23. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's commands. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea and as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this time together. I also thank you for the position of motherhood and the mothers that have been in my life, Lord. Thank you for all the mothers here today. Lord, as we open your word, I pray that we'll open our hearts and be receptive to your word. Give me the words to say, Lord. Speak through me. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Niagara River is a 36-mile long river that flows from Lake Erie to Lake Ontario. Along the path of the Niagara River is the Niagara Falls, where the water falls 180 feet. And Niagara Falls is actually considered to be the most powerful waterfall in North America. Upstream from Niagara Falls, there are some very serious and very dangerous category four rapids. And upstream from the rapids, the Welland River flows into the Niagara. And just before the Welland River flows into the Niagara River, there's a pedestrian bridge. And that bridge is supported by two pylons or two very large post structures. And those pylons or posts have two warning signs on them. As you float down the Welland River, you approach the pedestrian bridge and those support posts. And the first sign you see says, "Do you have an anchor?" And then the second sign says, "And do you know how to use it?" Those warning signs are letting boaters know that things are about to get rough downstream, and they definitely need an anchor, and they better know how to use it. In life, we all go through difficult times. In life, we sometimes find ourselves in rough waters. Sometimes we may even feel like we find ourselves in the middle of a Category 5 river rapid. And we need an anchor. As believers, we do have an anchor. It's called faith. Faith. Hebrews 6:19 says, our faith is the anchor of the soul. Now, the word faith is used in different ways in the Bible. So let's take a moment to distinguish what we're talking about today. There is, of course, first of all, saving faith. Saving faith. At that moment of salvation, when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that is saving faith. And then after that moment of salvation, we live by what's called sustaining faith. That's the faith that we live by every day that gets us through life, that sustains us, that helps us in the good times and the bad. Here's a Bible dictionary definition of this type of faith, this sustaining faith. It says this, it's a confident attitude toward God, including a commitment to His will for our life. We live by faith every day, and that faith keeps us secure and stable and strong in the Lord in the good times and the bad. Now listen, this sustaining faith is based on the promises found in the Word of God. There are thousands and thousands of God's promises found in this book. In the Bible, there are all the answers to life. And so our sustaining faith is based on those promises found in God's Word. But here's another way to think about it. Faith, it's been said that faith is like a toothbrush. Everybody should have one. Faith is like a toothbrush. Everybody should have one, and everybody should use it every day. Faith is like a toothbrush. Everybody should have one. You should use it every day and never use anybody else's. Faith is a part of the Christian life from beginning to end. That moment of salvation, saving faith. The Bible says we are saved by grace through faith. And so we put our faith in Jesus. Then after that, we live by faith. That keeps us going. We live by faith every day until God calls us home. And so we see here now in Hebrews 11. Got to hurry. Stay with me. Hebrews chapter 11. We find what is referred to here as the heroes of faith. The Hebrew writer provides these amazing examples of Old Testament saints living by faith. Beginning here in verse 23, we find an example of faith here by the parents of Moses. We're not told here what their name is, but if you look back in the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers, we find that the parents of Moses are Jochebed and Amram. Jochebed and Amram. And so for our Mother's Day message today, we're gonna look at this example of faith by the mother of Moses, Jochebed. And so the title of our lesson, The Faith of Jochebed. Notice three things in this passage. First of all, as we look at Jochebed's example of faith, notice number one, by faith, Jochebed believed in the future of Moses. Look at the first part of verse 23. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child. Now, but let's pause for just a moment. Let's give the background to this passage and kind of put this passage in context here in this Hebrews 11. We know the Old Testament tells us that God's people, the Hebrew people, were held in slavery and bondage for over 400 years in Egypt. And just before Moses was born, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave an order that all the male Jewish babies would be killed. And then we read, in Exodus 2, we're introduced to Moses. And it says that when he was born, Jochebed made a basket. He put Moses in that basket. She put that basket in the Nile River. Pharaoh's daughter and her female servants were in the Nile River bathing. And she saw the basket with Moses in it. And she went over and took that basket and found Moses. And the Bible says that Moses' sister, Miriam, was standing by watching. And she went up to Pharaoh's daughter and asked Pharaoh's daughter if she would like for her to go get a Hebrew slave woman to nurse baby Moses. The Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter agreed to this. And so Jochebed was able to nurse Moses and to also care for Moses. Now, there is much debate about how long Jochebed was able to take care of Moses. Some people say that she might have had him in her care up until age 10 or 12, and then he was permanently removed from her care and made a permanent residence in the royal palace, royal Egyptian palace, and began his Egyptian education. But notice here, now with that background given, notice it says, by faith, Jochebed hid Moses for 3 months. By faith, she put him in a basket in the river. And notice this. Notice, mothers, it says she did this because he was a beautiful child. Now, all of us, when our babies are born, think they're beautiful, amen? But this is not referring to physical appearance. This word in the original Greek language means special. Jochebed understood that God had a plan for Moses. She saw Moses through the eyes of faith. She did what she did by faith. Listen to me this morning. Listen, every child is special. Every child is special. Every child is a creation of God. Every child is made in God's image. Every child is loved unconditionally by God. I read a story about a mother and her 5-year-old son. I want to share that with you. I just want to read it to you. She says this, "I heard my 5-year-old son yelling for me in the bathroom. I went to see what was wrong, and he just stood there staring and pointing in the commode. I looked, and there was his toothbrush in the commode." Is it all right to say commode in church? "I reached down and picked it up and threw it in the garbage can. My 5-year-old thought for a minute and ran to my bathroom. He came back holding up my toothbrush and said, 'You can throw this one away too. It fell in the commode 3 days ago.'" Y'all all gonna go out and buy new toothbrushes now. Listen, mamas and daddies, the Bible says children are a gift from the Lord. They are special. God has a plan for your children. It may not be to lead the Hebrew people out of Egypt to the promised land, but I promise you that God has a plan for your children that is just as unique and special. Look at their God-given potential. Look at your children through the eyes of faith. Mothers, I know that some days you may not feel very spiritual and it may seem like God is a million miles away. But by faith, remember God's promise in His Word. He promises to never leave us or forsake us. And God has a plan for your children, yes. And moms, God has a plan for you as well. God has a plan for you. His plan for you includes, but is not limited to, the raising and care for your children. Let me just say before we go on, God has a plan for all of us. All of us here today, God has a plan for your life. He sees you right where you are. No matter what you've done or where you've been, the Lord God of the universe has a plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11, a very popular verse. God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, he said, I know the plans I have for you, not to harm you, but to give you a future and a hope. God's got a plan for every one of us. So we see here, by faith, Jochebed believed in the future of Moses. Number two, by faith, Jochebed fought for her family. She fought for her family. Look at the second half of verse 23. Let's lead in there. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. Notice this. Notice what it says. And they were not afraid of the king's commands. So, Pharaoh issued a decree that all male Hebrew babies will be killed. But because of faith, Jochebed took action. Jochebed took action. Faith is not just saying, oh, well, I have faith, and then go sit down and not do anything. Faith without action is not faith. James 2:17 says, faith without works is a dead faith. Listen. If you want your children to live for God and be in the center of God's will, it takes work. Yes, God has a plan for your children, but they have to be developed. Ephesians 6 says to bring them up in the teaching and the training of the Lord. So I want to part right here for just a moment. I want to give you two things as parents that we need to do to teach and to train our children. Number one, first of all, this is not in your outline. I encourage you to write it down. Number one, parents, you need to pray. You need to pray. Listen to me. Praying for your children is the most important thing you can do. Praying for your children is the most powerful thing you can do. In addition to those two things, praying for your children is the greatest expression of love that you can give. No matter what the age, toddlers to teens to totally grown, pray for your children. Pray in private, lift those children up to the Lord in private, but also, mamas and daddies, pray with your children. Pray with your children. Teach them the importance of prayer. Pray for their salvation, yes. Pray the scriptures over your children. If you don't, you say, I don't know how to pray for my kids, pray the Bible, pray the scriptures. Example, Romans 12:1 says, we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. That's what I call the total surrender verse. Take that verse and pray it for your child. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Pray that your child will grow up to be someone that seeks first the kingdom of God. Pray over your children and pray with your children. And lastly, pray in public. Pray in private, pray with your children, and pray in public. When you sit down to eat with your children, pray for, give thanks for that meal. That teach your children boldness and teach them not to be afraid to pray in public. So we see here, the first of all, train your children. First of all, pray. And second of all, prepare them for life. Prepare them for life. Proverbs 22:6 says this. It's a well-known verse, you probably know it, train up a child in the way he should go. Make sure your children and you and your family are in Sunday school and faithful in church worship service. Listen, Sunday morning is prime time. I encourage you to make a commitment for you and your family to be here in Sunday school and worship, to teach them the importance of coming to church and being involved in church. Listen, Kathy Winstead is our leader of our children's ministry. She does a fantastic job, does a great job, and she has some great Sunday school teachers. She has some great volunteers that help her with other activities. Take advantage of the children's ministry here. Eric Gargis is our newest member to our staff. He's our youth minister. He does a great job. He has some fantastic Sunday school teachers and leaders. Have your teenagers, your youth in those ministries. But listen, the home should be the primary place of training our children. Somebody say amen. Am I right? The home is the primary place of training our children. Notice the verse, Proverbs 22:6 says, train the child, train the child. Let me give you a definition from the dictionary of the word train. This definition fits great in this context of what we're talking about. Listen to this. It says to teach a particular skill or behavior through practice and instruction over a period of time. So listen, mamas and daddies, teach your children the Bible and teach them or train them on how to live it. As the definition says, shape their behavior. Teach them how to have a biblical worldview. Listen, if you just teach them, if you simply teach them and not train them, when they get older, somebody else will teach them something different. Train your children to live for the Lord, to know the Word, and have a biblical worldview. I heard a story about Joe Kennedy, who was a high school football coach in the state of Washington. After each game, he would pray at the 50-yard line. Sometimes his players would join him, players and parents and others would join him for prayer. Sometimes he prayed alone, but he did this for 7 years. In 2015, he was fired for praying at the 50-yard line after football games. He took legal action. He sued the school system, and after a long legal battle, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in his favor. He also, he won his job back, and he was also awarded a cash settlement. But I read an interview with Coach Kennedy, and he said this. Listen, he says, quote, you do not have to hide being a Christian. Don't be afraid to be that role model for kids and show them what it's like to be Christ-like. Listen, church, listen. It says here in this passage that the parents of Moses were not afraid of the king's commands. I love that. That's powerful. They looked beyond the king of Egypt and looked to the King of Kings. Listen, parents, don't be afraid to take a stand of faith. The Bible says to contend or fight for the faith. Now, I don't mean that you fight the umpire at your children's Little League baseball game. That's not what we're talking about. That's not the fight I want you to be engaged in. I want you to fight for the faith, fight for your family. The world we live in has gone crazy, and you got to fight to protect your children from this sin-filled world. Fight for your children. Fight for your children. Listen, God will give you the victory, but there is no victory unless we fight. There is no victory unless we take action. Whew. I got to move on. By faith, Jochebed believed in the future of Moses. By faith, she fought for her family. Number three, and we'll close. Listen, by faith, Moses followed the example of his mother. Moses followed his mother's example. We don't have time to read all of this passage, but I encourage you to read it later. That verse 24 through 29, you see how Moses in his adult life forsook, turned away from all that the kingdom of Egypt had to offer for the Lord. Let me give you one verse, one good one. Listen, by faith, when Moses became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Listen to this, notice this. Than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. I love that. That's a good one. Listen, by faith he forsook Egypt, verse 27, not fearing the wrath of the king, following his parents' example, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked for their reward. Listen, life is about choices and decisions. By faith, Moses chose God's way. He refused the power, the prestige, and the possessions of Pharaoh's kingdom. Why? Because he had a godly mother that taught him to live by faith. Moses could have ruled over the whole Egyptian kingdom, but he, by faith, he knew that God had a better kingdom. Granger Smith was a country music star. During his career, he has released 11 albums, two top 10 songs, one of which went to number one. Granger Smith recently announced he is leaving country music and becoming a full-time music minister at his church. I just want to shout when I read about him. I saw him on a live interview on TV. And he was asked, why didn't he just use his platform as a country music star to promote his faith? And he immediately responded and quoted Matthew 8:36, for what shall it profit a man? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? And he went on to say, if God is calling me to full-time ministry, my country music career, he's not going to bless that. He's surrendering to God's plan for his life. Listen, my friends, that is an example of living by faith. Like Moses, he is forsaking the world's riches and looking to the greater riches that only Jesus can give. Granger Smith is not letting the world define his identity. Granger Smith, with a great example, is not letting the world define his success. He is choosing God's way. Young people, let me speak to them specifically. I know many of them are over in the contemporary service. Listen, young people, I know the world's ways appear fun and exciting, but I want you to remember that all that glitters is not gold. All that glitters is not gold. Listen, it says here, it refers to the passing pleasures of sin. Don't be tricked by the ways of the world. Understand that God will honor and bless those that choose God's way. Mothers, live by faith. Put your confidence and trust in Him. God has a plan for your children, and God has a plan for you, moms and dads. Live by faith. God will honor that. God will bless that. He'll bless you beyond measure. The ways that God will bless a godly mother far outweigh anything the world has to offer. God has a plan for all of us. And the first step is accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here today, you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. The Bible says we're all born in this world as sinners, separated from God, on our way to hell. But God loved you so much, He sent His Son Jesus into this world to die on an old rugged cross. He died for your sins, my sins, the sins of the whole world. And 3 days later, after He died, He was raised from the dead and He lives today. Listen, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, listen, I encourage you to don't leave here today. Don't take that chance and leave here today without accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. God will bless you. God has a plan for your life. But in just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation here and over in the contemporary service. And on this Mother's Day, I'm going to ask that mamas and daddies come to the altar and pray for your families. Pray for your children. Yes, you want to pray at home in your private time, but mamas and daddies, grandparents, come pray for your children. Listen, our world, our country has turned its back on God. And I don't know how else to say it, but they are coming for your children. Through drugs, alcohol, and sexual immorality, literally and figuratively, they're coming to your children. I encourage you to come and pray during this time of invitation. Lift up your children. Dads, you come. Take your wife by the hand. Come, bring her to the altar. Come with her to the altar and pray with her and pray for your family. Let's pray together. God, we bow before your throne. We thank you for this time together today, Lord. And thank you for your word. I pray that we'll take it and apply it to our lives, Lord. Help us to live by faith. Help us to not be afraid. Help us to fight the good fight. I pray for mamas here today, Lord. Give them strength and the courage to fight for their families and teach their children the ways of God. God, I pray for the families that are represented here, the homes that are represented here, Lord. I pray that you would bind Satan and all his influence from their life, from their home. I lift them up to you, Lord. Help us to be faithful to you. The Bible says that the pleasures of sin are temporary. Oh, but your blessings for choosing God's way are eternal. During this time of invitation, I pray that we'll respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Have your will in your way during this time of invitation. We pray in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. As Mark comes and leads us, mamas, daddies, come pray for your children, your family, grandparents, you come as well. But whatever your need today, a spiritual need, a physical need, an emotional need, the altar's open. You come. Let's stand together.